Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Father, tonight, what a privilege it is to be in your house. We worship, we adore, we bless you. Thank you for your plans and your purposes for us tonight. I pray you will speak to us, you will affect our lives, and that you will not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you for the preaching of your word that comes with power and with demonstration of the power and the presence of God. Thank you for the plans. Thank you for your purposes that are stand tonight. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord who is here tonight. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Can I see your book? Can I see your book? Let me see your book. Let me see your Lycos book. Hey, something is happening. We started on Sunday with chapter 1. We're going to go to chapter 2 just now, but let's do a little quick revision. Chapter 1 defines what the whole book is about. And the title of chapter 1, it's Lycos. It means the layman. The layman. Are we all here? Did I hear somebody talking? We're all here, isn't it? Lycos, which means the layman. Now, we have to understand that in the church world or in the kingdom of God, there are so many helpers and so many workers. If you get a preview of heaven, you'll be surprised at the number of angels that are in heaven. You'll be surprised. You'll be taken aback. You can easily black out. Angels. Now, even to move away from there, every single one of us is supposed to have an angel. A guardian angel. Yeah. So you can imagine. 7 billion plus people in the world. Take out the sinners and the unbelievers and make it 4 billion or 3 billion. Let's make it half. Every child of God is protected. Isn't it fantastic? So when you look into the kingdom of God, you don't see things that are not enough or that are not a lot. When it comes to God, everything is in abundance. I don't know if you're following what I'm trying to say. When it comes to God and it comes to the kingdom of God, everything is in abundance. It is only here on earth. And it's only sometimes with us when we don't believe God and trust God well that we have things in little measure. But when you are dealing with God, things are in abundance. Are you with me? So in the kingdom of God, God has decided from the beginning to work with man, to work with people. And therefore, we are introducing ourselves to the concept of lay people. Lay people means normal people, common people, usual people. We looked at it on Sunday. We said that a normal person in Guyanese terms, if you bring a lady, if you talk about a lady, a young lady who's a normal person in Guyana, she doesn't definitely may have tasted before. Let me continue with my message because you understand what I'm trying to say. If you consider a young man, it's like if you go to particular areas, you can know that a young man from this area has stolen before. I don't want to mention an area for somebody to get offended. But if you go to a particular area, majority of the people there have done bad things before. Majority of the people in the area have smoked weed before. So it's like that. If you are going to look at a normal person, a lay person, a lycos, which means an unskilled person. Come on, we have so many, almost all of us are common people. But you have to, average person, you have to understand that average people, common people, are the ones with the power. The power of God and the power to make things different and to change things and to have an effect, influence on things, are not with the skilled people. Because only a small fraction of people living on this earth are skilled in something. If God was going to depend on people who are skilled, or people who are educated, or people who have qualifications, I wonder if he will have somebody with qualifications. Because this is not a vacancy. The things of God, it's not like a vacancy you put in a newspaper and you say, okay, what? The person must be this. 5 subjects at CXE, 1, 2, 3 must have. No, no, no. The things of God, if God was to bring qualifications, nobody will meet the qualifications of God. So we are helping ourselves to remove something from our minds. And that is to understand, like 1 Corinthians chapter something, something, something says it. I'm sure you're going to give it to me without me telling you where it is. That God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I said, God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. That is why many people who God uses always have a background of nothing. You can mention the name and then I will tell you. Few people, if any, are used by God and have a very noble, a very sophisticated, a very skilled, marvelous background. Look at a woman like Catherine Kuhlman. If you've heard of Catherine Kuhlman before, there's no woman that God has ever used as great as Catherine Kuhlman. It was through Catherine Kuhlman that Benny Hinn got his anointing. That woman used to be a pastor of a church. And then there was this guy, this man who would come to the church to preach as an evangelist. Then Catherine Kuhlman divorced her husband and then married this preacher who would normally come to the church to preach. The Christian world deleted her from their books. She was rejected. She was despised. She was cast out of the church world. She traveled and moved. Every place she would go, the people would say, "We don't want you in our town." You know, in those days in America, towns were smaller. So if you are going into a town, people know you are coming to town. Even right now, there are still some towns that are small. There are some counties that are small. If you are going in, if a preacher is going in to do a program, they know you are coming. So Catherine Kuhlman was rejected time and time again until she decided to just run away into some small town and just be there quiet and mind her business. Because in those days, what kind of woman are you to divorce your husband as a pastor, and then the pastor who's been coming to preach in your church, coming to do convention, you're doing wedding with him? What kind of woman is you? Already people have problems with women preaching. Yeah, already people have problems with that. Oh, you're a woman, you're a pastor. People find it a little difficult to receive you. Yeah, the pastor, the lady pastors I have, it's only women who are around them. A few of them, if you, it's very difficult to have a man follow a woman. Are you with me? So she retreated to this small town. And then she was in this small town. And then there was a church in the town that went to request for her help, that they wanted her to become their pastor. She was shocked. She said, "Are you sure? Are you sure you want me to be your pastor? Because I don't remember the last time anybody ever wanted me to pastor their church." And he said, "Yeah, we want you to be our pastor. We love you. We appreciate you." That's how God lifted her up. So when she became the pastor of the church and began to serve faithfully, then God anointed her. There's no sickness that will come into a service that will not be healed. I tell you, doctors were baffled. Doctors were amazed. Doctors went mad because the things that the doctor would pronounce and say, "This thing cannot be cured." You go to Catherine Kuhlman's meeting, the thing is gone. But was somebody who the whole church world rejected, because she divorced and then married the pastor who used to come and do convention in her church. That's a common person. That's a normal person. You think of, look at yourself. Let's look at us. Look at you and look at me. It's just that you have a powder on your face. If you were to open up your jacket, you see the worms that go, that, let me not say it. Yeah. No, and you see, you may easily even be mistaken and think that as I'm talking about this, it's just those who are bad. But you see, even those who don't feel like they are bad, your things you have. Am I talking to you tonight?
Yes.
Even those who feel that, oh, I have not been a dangle before. You have been something before. And in fact, you are still something. It is, you see, it is even more difficult for those who had almost like a cleaner, if you want to call it clean, or a less atrocious background. You know, those people who, those type of who are in the church, it is even difficult for them to believe and trust God more than those who have been dangles before. You see, because when you are nothing, when you are nobody, you come before God, you say, oh, Lord, you know me. My name is Dangalina. I have been a dangle for so many dangalistic years. Danglisha. That's true. Because if you study when Jesus was talking out, was standing at a place where they were giving offerings, there was this widow who came, and there was this Pharisee. And the Bible says the widow came, she had just a mite, and she gave her mite. The Pharisee came, and then he gave big amount of money. Jesus was standing right there when they were giving the offering. And then when they left, Jesus said, it is the widow rather who has left, isn't it? He placed justice, because when she came, she said, oh Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner, isn't it? And then this woman said, me, I pay tithe. The people who seem to look good and have a very good background, those people struggle with God. They struggle with God. They struggle. God cannot work through them. God cannot do things to them because they always have to assess and analyze and reason and plan and put things together and assess and this and test things and prove things and all kinds of fantastic things. Whereas those who studied dangology, you just, when they think of, yes, it's a, yeah. That is why it is so fantastic that you be in the church if you understand what we are teaching and not offer yourself to do something for God. Because already you are not clean already. Instead of finding something to look a little clean in the church, you are trying to play Miss Universe that you never won. Miss Universe that they never even chose you. I'm preaching about you. Who should I preach about? The person you are preaching, I'm talking to you right here in the church. So lay people like us is just normal people, usual people. Now, we have to understand that it is the same usual and normal people God uses in his kingdom. How many of us are lay people? How many of us are? You can say you say that you are like us. You are unskilled. You're unlicensed. You are not an expert. You are a normal person. How many of us will say normal person? Hey, Anita, you're not a normal person. You're a normal person. Yeah. Normal. Yeah, normal person. When we see botox, you are normal people. Yeah, unskilled. When we see Bobby, we say, hey, we're normal people. Yeah, we are not people who, when we see Bobby, we say, shakabro satabarabaya, in the name of Jesus. Yeah. No, those people don't exist. Yeah. Barack Obama won his election through normal people, you know. Normal people voted for Barack because he gave them hope. He gave them hope. Spoke, come on, man. Students gave $10 each, $5, $15. He organized a lot of money to do his campaign.
Normal people come together to do great things. If you look at Nehemiah, he was a normal guy. He was just the king's cupbearer. Ahasuerus. Is that Ahasuerus? Ahasuerus, right? He was a cupbearer. He was just pouring wine into his cup. That was all. He was just a butler. That he was the guy that God used to build the walls of Jerusalem. So the things of God, just in case you are sitting down in the church thinking that the work of God must be done by some angels. That the things of God, it is those who have been to school. It is those who know the Bible from A to Z. It is those people who must do the work. This is what the book is about. And we are looking forward to having almost everybody here get involved in church work, because you are going to understand that you are a normal person and it's a normal people God uses. Yeah. Chapter 2. What happens when there are no laymen and volunteers? The church is run and must be run by lay people, volunteers, normal and ordinary people. Many people get vexed when they see lay people in the church. Because they say, what? You're a sister? Of course. I'm a sister. What do you expect? There's no ladies who are sisters. Who do you expect to be a sister? He's a brother too? Of course I'm a brother. You better make yourself a brother too. Because, you know, one of the things that also happens is that many people do not see themselves qualified. But there is no qualification. That's the secret of the thing. Many people feel that, you know what, no, I am not worthy. Even to come to church, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I want to try and get some, put some things together, right? I have some little issues here and there. I want to put things together. What things are you going to put together? So what are you expecting? What you are actually telling us is that you are going to fix your life. And then you come to God and tell God that, God, I don't need you to fix anything for me. So then what are you doing in the house of the Lord? God wants people who need fixing. It is people who need fixing. The Bible says that he's the potter and we are the clay. So if you're already a pot, then don't come. Because the potter does not work on pots. He works on clay. And all of us, we are clay. That's why we are in a church. We have this here, this there, so that the potter can mold us and mend us and fill us and use us and have something good for us to do. That is why we are here. We are clay. If you're already a pot, you can't be in church. It is those people who are self-righteous. Yeah, self-righteous. Oh, how can that person be singing in the choir? But you are not in the choir. I say you are not in the choir. If you are so holy at that, why don't you come and sing in the choir? Those so-called holy and righteous people, they never do anything. They will sit back and criticize people and say bad things about people and point fingers at people. They will never do anything. The so-called holy ones. You see, if you go to another church, they may not talk about this. But this is scriptural. I said this is biblical. That God, let me tell you, anybody God used in the Bible had a problem. You see, so it gets to a point where we pastors and we church leaders think that we have arrived. And therefore we despise those who don't have the background that we have. But God picked us up from somewhere. If today we can stand and say, okay, we are righteous, we are holy, or we don't thief no more, or we don't smoke no more, it has been because we have come a very far way. But we were not like this. When we were born in our mothers, we were pastors already, holy and all of that. We're all born sinners. You get it? So this church is wiping out ignorance, because the Bible says the lack of knowledge makes my people perish. This church is wiping out ignorance from the minds of the people. So you arise and say, let us arise and build. Let us arise and build the church of God. I know I am a handicap. I know one of my legs is not working, but at least the other one is working. At least I can hold something. I can hold something. I said I can hold something. I can go and fetch something. I may not be fast like the person with two legs, but at least I can go and I can come back. We cannot have a church without lay people or volunteers working. I am the only one in the church who is paid. So what? I should do everything. I should sing. I should take care of the children. I should play keyboard. I should do everything. Because I'm the only one who supposedly can give up whatever he has and do the work of God. What about you? You can do something. He said, when you don't use lay people, you take away sacrifice. And sacrifice is the bedrock of the Christian faith. If you want to look at Christianity, the bedrock, the foundation is a sacrifice. If you will not sacrifice, or if you can't sacrifice, you cannot be a Christian. You can't even be a Christian not to be even a good one. That's why I said, when you came here, you spend money to come here. It's a sacrifice. If it's $100, if it's $200, it's still a sacrifice, because that could have taken you to work tomorrow. So because Christianity is based on sacrifice, God is saying that, okay, some of us like me, okay, I have left whatever I was doing and I'm now preaching. But so does that mean that I should let Brother Brian not sacrifice for God? Are you following me? Because Christianity is based on sacrifice, everybody who turns, Romans, is it Matthew 16, 24? Anybody who wants to follow God must partake in the cake of sacrifice. You must take up your cross. You cannot say you are going to follow Jesus and you don't want to take up your cross. Then said Jesus unto his disciples. Who is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who follows somebody. One of the major problems for people who can't do things in the church is that they have other things they have to attend to. So when they come to church and the service finishes or the service ends, they're going. People can't come to church because I was talking to a young lady. She says, I go to school throughout the week. The only time I can have chances is Sunday. I said, I can help you. Still, you can do something. In fact, don't let me talk to you in this period we are in. When you see me, you should run away. Because there is no way your schedule... Are you the president's wife? Don't bring yourself. Are you the woman president? Are you president woman? There is nothing that you can tell me that prevents you from doing God's work. There's nothing. If you like, bring up your case. I will see doors and windows for you right now. That's if you don't, if when you see me coming, you go. Just avoid me. Avoid me, because if you don't avoid me, I will bust a hole in your wall for you to do God's work. That is what we stand for. That is what this church is about. This church has the wisdom and the knowledge to use people who are normal, who are ordinary, because you must sacrifice. Now, even though I'm not so impressed about, let's say, attendance tonight, it can be better. It can be better because many of us have not gotten or just caught the spirit of sacrificing. You just like to come to church but alone. And you don't go to church alone. You never come to church alone. You see, if you take away sacrifice, you've taken away Christianity. And whatever you do, you must sacrifice something to be able to follow Christ Jesus. It must be your time, it could be your energy, it could be money. But whatsoever it is, you must give up something. That is why, if there are no lay people, that's what is going to happen. You're going to have a church where people don't sacrifice. And the church that doesn't sacrifice cannot be identified with Christ Jesus. Because you cannot come after him and not sacrifice. So ask yourself, what sacrifice are you into in the church? The hallmark of your commitment to God will come by you sacrificing something. Yeah. you, my new cell leaders, who are becoming sophisticated, posh, bourgeoisie, middle class type of cell leaders. I am coming for you big time. Baby Lass, you know Baby Lass? That Baby Lass pampering type of cell leader you are. Not this Friday, but the next Friday. A cell leaders all night. 10 to 4. We are praying here. You can't sacrifice? You can't sacrifice? You don't want to sacrifice? You have to. You must. Because if an ordinary person cannot sacrifice, you cannot be the disciple. Cannot be. And if volunteers are not in the church, then we are taken out. Because, you see, I'm full-time, so I'm here. It's finished. So what happened to you? What is Anita going to say to make us realize that she's also a Christian? That she just comes to church? That's your reasonable service. Coming to church is nothing. But what do you do also as a believer of Jesus Christ or somebody who loves Jesus and follows Jesus? What do you do? Ask yourself. Hey, so good. Ask yourself. We struggle with sacrifice. I said we struggle with sacrifice. Vanessa, don't we struggle with sacrifice? Yeah. It's very difficult to see you in church. Very difficult. Not me. I know who I am. Yeah, you don't understand who you are. Walking in power. It is the things that work in our favor. Those are the things we speak about. If you know who you are. If you know who you are, you can't work on Sunday. Let me not talk about, I know who I am because you're a child of God, you are more than a conqueror, you are victorious. No, that's not the part I'm talking about. That is true. But what about the part that as a child of God, you don't work on Sundays? Amen. What about that side? Yeah, well, that's part two. Chapter 2, verse 1. That's another part too, that as a child of God, not only am I walking in power, but as a child of God, I don't take Sunday jobs. As a child of God, I don't do shift work. Otherwise, if I do any shift work, I must appear in the church as somebody who does not even do shift work. Stand up, people. Stand up. This lady is a good example of a lay person who works a shift work. Come, the people don't know you. Come. Like us. She's going to get married next year. She's getting married next year. Ta la la la. La 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 la. La la la. Do you take this man as your wedded husband? They've answered for you. No, Sister Everett here, she's a nurse. But she's a cell leader. She's an indictment to all you nurses. You, where's Moeva Rodwell? You, all the nurses, where are they? All the nurses. Yeah. She is an indictment. You know an indictment? If you look at her, we can judge you. You see, I told you, you cannot come and tell me, Rev is my job. Yeah. Your job? I will not use myself. I'll use Everett. Who got saved right in this church. Anytime, you see now she's smiling. She didn't know how to smile. Everett and smiling? Yeah. Lisa Marilyn can tell you. Everett smiling? Everett doesn't smile? No, she doesn't smile. Now look at how she's smiling. Evil smiling? But we didn't give up on her. We didn't give up on her. Now look at how she's smiling. And she's walking to the aisle next year by the grace of God. Yeah. Yeah. That's all I'll tell you for now. Walking in power. this lady is your guilty verdict if you say you are whoever.
I'm not saying that though.
The way what she's able to do in the church is what tells me that Vanetta is different. Stand up. Rodwell, stand up. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is not me. It's not me. It's not God. It's this lady. When you look at Everett, you should see how guilty you are. Everett, I don't know how she manages it. But Everett, you last Sunday you worked, isn't it? You didn't work Sunday. But if she works on Sunday, how do you do it? Because I see you.
Yes.
Take the microphone. And because on that day, you speak through the microphone, so you have to learn how to speak. Because I see, when she works on Sunday, I see her in the morning. And then that's it. Then by 6 o'clock, when I have my leaders' meeting, then she's here. She's just like a normal cell leader who comes only for first service and goes home to sleep. And then comes back at 6 for meeting. She's just like that. Yeah, they are laughing. Yeah. Yeah. She comes. You see her. She. Yeah. Whoever, Vanetta, I'm just using you as examples tonight too. What if Everett is a cell leader? She has never, take the microphone. Have you ever come to me to tell me, Rev, I'm working to, so I can't preach?
No, Rev.
Oh, they didn't hear you, man.
No, Reverend.
Ah, but don't you work shift?
Not anymore.
You don't work any shift anymore. Why?
I guess God answered my prayers. Yeah.
So you mean to tell me that, Raphael, she's walking in power. I said, you are walking in power. This is a real walking in power. You want to tell me that you can have one shift as a nurse in this country?
Yes, sir.
Oh, sweetie, talk, yes, kiss the mic, man. So have you spoken to these sisters of yours? The sisters of mercy? Mercy sisters? Yes, sisters of mercy. I'm sure they will probably not even believe her. But I'm saying that she's an example of people who work. She used to work shift.
Yes,
you've been a cell leader for years. It's not the other day. So even the fact that you don't work shift anymore doesn't even mean that your problems are solved.
If I know, but going doing cell leader, finish and in my book, and then go to work night time.
No, the people didn't hear what you said.
When I'm doing late, I know, but coming for a service, go home, dress, and go to work for 1 to 9.
Okay.
Yes.
And then Thursday, when you're preaching, you preach,
and then
you come, report, and then you go for night.
Yes, sir.
So the night that we are sleeping, she is working. So when we all wake up, she's also awake, as if she didn't do anything. Wow. That is what you call sacrifice. That's what you call sacrifice. That's what you call sacrifice. Yeah. Shondell, you can't tell me, oh, 2 months' time I'll be available. Yeah. So you see, so then it is when you are available that God can get you. So then what have you given up? What are you giving up? No, if you buy me something, then I'll talk to you. Or if you buy me something, then I can come by you. Or if you buy me something, then you could do something with me. If you buy me a shoe, then I can shoe you too. All of you who profess to be busy in your life, I will not use myself as an example. I'll use this lady there. Yeah. She has done shift and done the work of God until God said, you know what? I love this girl, man. I love this girl. I love this girl. I like how this girl is sacrificed. I like how she's make things. She make herself available for me. You know what? I will work things together for her good. And God has done that. It's a testimony. Yeah. You see, if you come to me, I'll tell you, if I don't get my way, I leave you. That's me. But maybe mine need to be too high for you. If I don't get how I want it, I'm gone. I'm walking in power. Let's see who has power. I have the power to walk out. If you have power, walk out, let's see. I said, if you are walking in power, then walk out in power, let's see. Yeah. We are going for camp. See, Reverend, I can't come.
Reverend, I know, but going camp and call in the morning and report sick.
Yeah, you see, no, because you can't go and tell them, can I have 2 days for camp? They will say, 2 days for what? So you have to use the laws that work. In the secular world, the laws that work is sick leave, leave, and all those kind of leaves we have. Yeah. Because one of the things that amazes me in our country is when people have a dead, how they get the chance to go and bury the dead. It's a sign of dead people living in this country, because Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Anybody who gives time and attention to dead bodies, that person is dead. I will not bring myself, because when I bring myself, it will be too far from you. You're too high. You will not be able to understand it. You will not understand it. I don't even remember where my mother's dead body is at. I don't remember where my father is buried. I have to, if I go to Ghana, I have to go and ask somebody to take me. I say, I don't remember. I don't even remember. I go to Ghana and I don't even go to where my father built a house for us. I don't go there. I go to Ghana. I'm in Lighthouse, Accra. I finish my meeting. Back to Ghana to preach and to be with you. I said, I will not talk about sacrifice. And let's talk about those who are working, who are sacrificing. Are sacrificing. So if there are no lay people, if there are no volunteers in the church, then we are removing sacrifice. Sacrifice is the main thing in our Christian life. If you can't sacrifice, you can't be a Christian. It's as simple as that. You cannot sacrifice, you can't be a Christian. You can't give up something for God, you can't serve God. You cannot. You cannot. Absolutely not. You cannot. And it runs through almost every area of our lives. Things that we are into, things that we are associated with, things, it's fantastic. Sweetie, come. Yes, you, sweetie. Yeah, sweetie, come. Can you walk? Yes, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Come, sweetie. Yeah. I'm walking in power. Yeah. Walking in miracles. Yeah. It's another lady here. You feeling much better? Okay. This cold thing that is around. Please pass the microphone. You remember this lady?
Yes, Reverend.
Was she smiling like that?
No, Reverend. It took a long time to smile.
You even can't get her to smile. She reminds me of Ashana. Where's Ashana? I saw Ashana in the corner. She started smiling to me last week. I feel very powerful. This is our pastor in Stewartville. We moved our church from Denamsel, the one in Perica. We brought it together in Stewartville. So that's our pastor there. Are you married?
Yes, Reverend.
Are you sure?
Yes, Reverend.
So how are you able to go? How many times do you go to West Coast?
Sometimes 6 days in a week.
6 days in a week?
Sometimes 6 days in a week.
You go to Stewartville?
Yes, Reverend.
Do you bring invoice for gas to us, to the church?
No, Reverend, never for that.
You sure?
No, Reverend.
I ain't giving you no money for go to Stewartville? In that fancy car you used to drive? That's a horse, you know, 2.0 liter. A car is not 1998.
is a tax collector. She has a very good job. She runs a company. Yeah. She's the boss lady of the company. No, please don't go and talk to you after church and say, please, for some little raise. That's not why I'm saying this. Church members, you have to behave yourself, okay? I'm just saying this to say something. She's the boss lady for the place. She's married. She is on the west coast of Demerara, going over this bridge that many people don't even want to go and live over the river. Much less to have a church over the river in Stewartville. She goes there almost like 6 days in a week sometimes. If you don't have volunteers like that, how can we reach out to those over there? Anita, I should also go and have a church there, right? I should preach in the morning, jump in my car, go over the river, go do 6 days there, and come and do how many days here? How many days in Sophia? How many days in Pearl? How many days in Linden? I've gone dead before you see me. I've gone dead. Dead. Sunday morning, I should go and bring people to church. You should allow me to prepare and you know, wait upon the Lord to come and preach powerfully so that you rather will bring people to church. This is sacrifice standing right in front of you. She drives a car, she has a husband, she goes, she come here, she can go. Like as she's here. If I have a meeting with her, where is her husband?
Home, he gone back home. He brought me.
Husband home. Gonna wait. What time he coming for you?
He said, must call him anymore.
He said, must call him. You must pray for your husband like that. Who say, Jamel, he said, when you're done, call me. You see, when they were seeing each other, she never compromised her church timings for him. So when they got married, the man knew what he was coming into. He's like, oh, Reverend, can I get a day off? I have to go and take care of her. No, no, no. The man came into the picture knowing what she does. So she's not feeling well. She could not drive, isn't it? So he comes to the... He won't come to church. It's okay. It's no problem. We love him anyway. We pray for him all the time, no? But she got dropsy and she galangy anyway. And he knows it. So he said, when you're ready, she can be here till 2 a.m. Will she ride with you?
No, he's gone sleep in the vehicle.
He gone sleeping, gone chill out. It's even nice when the wife gone out, you chill out, right? You chill out and watch TV, watch the channel you want to watch, right? I mean like that, man. Let me watch this thing. There's nobody tell them we watch nothing. You watch it, what you want to watch. You turn the volume high. She said, man, let the Lord down the tail. Now you look real high. And when you get a phone call, say, hi, I'm already. I might just jump in. I said, I'm on my way, coming. Come and pick you up. Church was good. Say, yeah, church was good. All right, let me go, like, sweetie. Let me go. Isn't that nice? Yeah. Ask yourself, what do you do? Yeah. Look at somebody also coming. She's not gone home, isn't it? Hey, are you falling? Yeah, look at some people coming there. I hope they don't come like this, and then when they get the full white, then they become like a Rodwell on my right hand. And then Vanetta right in front of me. You must become cell leaders. You must fight and force and say, you know what? I don't volunteer my service. Do you volunteer your services in this church?
Not anymore.
This is your judgment. You are guilty. Life in prison. This is your life in prison. It's your life in prison. Rodwell, you get a firing squad. death by lethal weapon or something. Lethal injection. That's your. I said, bring your schedule, bring your timetable, bring yourself, and let me tell you the God we serve, that if you are to fight for him, whether he will not fight for you. If you are to spend time for him, whether he will not spend time with you. What are you talking about? You want to tell me you think I don't know the God that we are serving? The Bible says he's a rewarder. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. He said he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Sacrifice. You got to. Lloyd George, I'm looking at you. Looking at you. Some of you, Lennox. Some of you, you work, moving about. I didn't see you on Sunday, buddy. You work, move around. Chair. Ask yourself whether your boss man can put air into your nose. Ask your boss man. When he says come to work on Sunday, say, boss man, you could put oxygen in my mouth? You must ask your boss man. If he can't do that, say, you know what? Don't ask me for work on Sundays. You are past people. No, ask your boss man. If he can't put oxygen through your nose, tell him that, you know what? The UI must pass me for ask me for work on Sunday. Because I gotta go and work for the person who's put gas in my nose. I didn't see to you. Is that you? Am I preaching a good message? Yeah. Good message. Yeah. No. Tell your boss man, say, boss man, with all due respect, can you buy gas for me? He said, what do you mean by gas? I said, oh, boss man, you like Nicodemus. You don't understand everything. I'm talking about oxygen. I said, can you give me oxygen? If oxygen was to sell $1 per intake, $1, $2. I said, boss man, if my overtime, you don't pay me well. If the extra energy I have spent at work, you don't pay me well. You could put oxygen in me nose? Oh, in me nose hole. In me nose hole. Mrs. Harry Brown or Brown Harry? You boss man could put in your nose hole?
No, right.
Yeah, thank you very much. Any boss who cannot put gas in your nose hole, tell them that they cannot tell you to come and do. Now, all the guys in the church, you should look at it. We can do some of the things we want to do again. Like canal, going here. We can do it. We have so many things to do. We have to paint pearl. Where's Cromwell? We have to wire pearl. We have to do this. We have to finish. We can do it. Because Monday to Saturday, they give their time to their boss people. Is it not true? Why are the men? All the men stand up. Sweetie, thank you all, sweetie. All those who are not sweetie, all the men stand up. Nicodemus question. Hey, look at Lloyd. Can I ask you to come Saturday and let's go and fix the place? No. Because somebody is buying gas for you to put in your nose hole. Yeah. Job. Dwight. Where's Dwight? I mean, Brian has come. But he's coming here on time in the afternoon. Where's Dwight? They come. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. They're coming. Cromwell. We can't. We have work to do. We have not finished Canalo. We have not finished. I'm sure the people are waiting for Reverend to say, hey, this holiday we are going. They say, okay. All right, Reverend. And that's what the people are waiting for. Lennox! You buy juice, but you won't come and work. You buy apple for coffee. Where's coffee? And Job. You drink V8, V9, 8 valves, 16 valves engine. Yeah. No, you think about it. We have not finished the work. We have not finished. Go and see the bush. Go and see. Where's Mr. Plumber? You skinning your teeth? Are you walking in power? You're not walking in power. We can't get Saturday to have so many of these gentlemen who are so, some of them are skilled, some of them are talented, to try and the build. We have really done a good job. We have brought nothing to some place. Oh! No, it's just left with a little bit of something to just finish it and take our hands off it. Why? Because the whole excuse and reason is that we are all working. We are working. But if there is no volunteers, if there's no sacrifice in the church will not be recognized as a church. When I was a lay person, when I was a volunteer, I had a cell phone that the company gave me. You know when a company gives you a cell phone, you know, so that they can track you, a tracking device. I know somebody like that. My phone calls, I wasn't into anything. The cell phone was only calling my church members, first timers, new converts. At the end of the month, my cell phone bill that is paid for by my company, it's my church members' phone calls. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. So I have the contract phone, postpaid. And any phone call I make, it has nothing to do with work. It's either a first timer, a new convert, or one of my leaders or my shepherds that I'm talking to. My phone, my landline in the office, 90% when it rings, is my church members at my workplace. I'm doing counseling right there. Sometimes I have to, you know what? Can I call you back? Because there are people there, you know, if I start saying, no, it's a devil, demon, no. It'll be strange. So I have to say, you know what? Can I call you back? Because some of these children, when they call, they just start. I'll call you back. So sometimes when it's 5 o'clock, everybody is going home. You don't go home like you are doing overtime. No, I'm going to make now my phone calls. It's now that I'm going to make my deliverance phone calls. Sometimes even long distance calls to other countries. That's when I make it. I'm sure if the company's phone bill goes up, I'm sure mine was one of them. Why? You see, that is the sign that you gotta stop them thing and focus. You gotta focus. That is when that full-time thing even comes in. Because you are so consumed that your boss is even angry. One of my bosses gave me his vehicle. It was a Saab 9.5. Saab 9.5. Those days, it was very powerful. It was a big boss. That was his vehicle. He was traveling somewhere and he had to send the vehicle to our headquarters in France. And he couldn't go. So he traveled and he gave it to me. I mean, I was going for a meeting. So he said, okay, I should just go by road and then fly back. I said, no problem. Sunday, I take the car to church. Lo and behold, after church, when I come, the glass is smashed, the CD player is gone. Hey. At least when I got into trouble with the car, it wasn't I went to no disco, right in front of the church. My problems are church problems. My problems are church problems. I had to fix it, all kinds of things, before I was able to drive it to wherever. It was because of church. I took it to church because I wanted to show off with my nice car. Yeah, Saab 9.5. The thieves in the area, they disgrace me. Pa. Excuse me. Yeah. They prove that the guy, he goes to places where people are armed robbers and people are thieves. That it's like church. It was everything was church. I remember we went on a vacation to Switzerland. That was a manager's retreat. Manager's retreat. Went to Switzerland on top of the mountains to go and do skiing. Black man skiing. Hey, I fall down. I gave up. I said, no, minimal. I can't stand on the ice. Sunday morning, I called my boss and I said, the next Lighthouse Chapel is in Bern. Bern. Is it Bern or Basel? It was Bern. I tell my boss, man, can I use your car? I have to go to church. When I came back, they were ready, dressed up. They wondered where this guy has gone to. Because I've gone to church. You know, when we close church, we don't leave. I was there fellowshipping with a pastor, his wife, we were gaffing. Not knowing the people were ready, packed. They were waiting for us to leave. We can't go to Switzerland and enjoy on the snow on the mountain. And there's a church about 35 minutes away. And Sunday morning, we sleep in the place is cold. I hug my wife and say, girl, you going? Me going? You going? Me going? Ah, not today. Woke up in the morning. Say, boss man, give me your vehicle. Drove it. Went. Pastor Collins has come to church. Wow, look at his vehicle. Say, yeah. Volunteers. Otherwise, the church cannot work. Thank you, gentlemen. We have to sacrifice. If there are no volunteers or lay people, there's no sacrifice. When we started our church, the church in Europe, then Bishop asked me to do another branch. You see, you lay people who are here who have one church. Even here, Raphael, if you remember, I was pastoring this church and I was pastoring the church in Wisma also. I was a pastor of two churches. Abena, you love God more than me? Please, I beg you, please. Don't tell me, no, you can't tell me you love God. Don't bring that love thing here. Vanetta, don't start love. If you say like, I may probably listen to you, but love, no, please, don't bring God. We started a church in Europe. I was pastoring the church in Amsterdam. Then Bishop asked us to start a church in Brussels, in Belgium. I start service from, it was 10 to 12. Then, by 1 o'clock, I have to be at the train station for the fastest train that takes 3 hours to get to Brussels. So from 1, I get to Brussels train station around 3. I have to make my way to the place where we are setting up for the church. We start church at 4. 4 to 6. The last train leaves at 9. It gets to Amsterdam midnight. Midnight. The next morning, I'm going to work. Meanwhile, most of the time, I used to also do shift, you know. I used to do Saturday 6 p.m. till Sunday morning 6 a.m. That's why I used to prepare my sermons and pray. In the night when there are no customers, that's why I'm going through my sermons and praying. When I go home in the morning, I don't sit down. If I sit down, there will be no church that day. So I don't sit down. I move around. And then I have to go and pick somebody up. I remember those days, I went to pick somebody up, some young lady. I knocked her door and she opened the door with a face like that. So I say, yes, it's church. Look at me and say, all right. I'm going to get ready. I said, I want to come inside. He said, okay. I went to sit there like that. I am not moving. I went to bath, dress up. I said, there we go. Took her to church. 6 to 6 in the morning. Dress up, go and pick people. Go to church. By 1 o'clock, I'm in a train to Brussels. After that, I'm back midnight to Amsterdam. 6 o'clock, I have to return to work again. And then here, when we started, Wisma,
I pastored a church in Wisma for 6 months. All the people who have been with me, they will tell you. Cromwell will tell you. Where's Reverend Isan? It's right there. Oh, two of us. 6 months. When I finish the service here, I do 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Pa! I sit in my car. Brian, straight to London. Then we used to have evening service too. Then I drive back for the evening service here. You think I'm a machine? No. I said, Ned, we have to do things. So we have done things. I used to have chairs at the back of my car. And I'll do Bible study. I go to Tiger Bay and I take the what do you call it? Foldable chairs. I put it at Tiger Bay. And then I sit and we do Bible study right there. When I finish, I pack them and put it in my trunk and I drive home. I used to do one in South also. Cauliflower Street or Cauliflower Avenue or something like that. Sacrifice? Otherwise, the church cannot be identified. That's Pastor Isan. I showed him Guyana. I showed him Georgetown. You can ask him. I took him to Corners. One day he said, we look like we are policemen. I said, yeah, we are spiritual policemen. Because once the person comes to church, we are going to look for the person. You go. I don't care. Where I came from, we visit people in the night. You hear the people say, 9 o'clock, people gone into their, I gone in my bed early. You go in your bed early, I come into your house. Anybody, you go in your bed early. I'm coming to your bed too. You see, you know them things, so they work on your mind. I don't know anything. I know that I can visit up to midnight. Midnight, I'm with a church member in their house. I'm talking to them. Midnight. What, you want to drive me away? Reverend has come to your house, you driving me away? Hey, you should be happy that I've come to talk to you about God. So I won't go in my bed. You won't go in your bed? Me, I don't have a bed in my house. We are sitting down here, we are talking. The place. I remember those days was when Roger Khan was doing his things. And my wife would be, he'll come and say, are you not coming home? I said, sweetie. I got to visit people. I used to live in Republic Park. Move around all the place. Midnight, 1 a.m. Now I'm going home. She panicking. Say, you know, these people, they are shooting people. I said, yeah, let them shoot people. It's people that will shoot. Nobody. I'm walking in power. I said, I'm walking in power. Nobody can shoot me. Stand to your feet, amen. Time is up. Hallelujah. Anita. Sacrifice. That's why we need volunteers. We need people to volunteer their time. Yeah. We're looking for more volunteers. I'm writing names of volunteers at the back at the information desk. Anybody who wants to be a volunteer, I need 100 cell members, cell leaders. You see, I will say cell leaders that when you sleep, you hear cell leaders. Those of you who, after all this I'm saying, you still are not responding. Let me not ask some demons to come and torment you in the night. Let me not say that. Because some of you, you'll be here, I'll say it, it's like I'm talking to a tree. You see me in your dreams. I'll be talking about sales. If you don't see me in your dreams, respond to my cell leadership invitation now. When I come in your dreams, I won't be smiling, you know. I promise you, I won't be smiling. I'll turn my face up. Yeah, I'll come with a fork. Take your two eyes out. You wake up. You call your shepherd and say, I had a very, very strange dream last night. Reverend was taking off my eyes. Of course, I have to take off your eyes. Hallelujah. I will be come on sing it
say yes. Lord, I agree.
Do you agree?
My desire.
I pray that that will be your desire henceforth.
Passionately.
Jesus.
It's to be what you called me to be. And that's what I'll be.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life. And I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.